All right, if you take your Bibles, turn to chapter 11. Before we begin, I have a, this is not in the commentary series over there, but this is a, the publishers, I think, did not do me a good job on this. This is a more of a detailed commentary on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It's not part of the commentary series. But you would not know that this is a commentary, that they made the title is The Hope of Christ's Return, but you don't know it's a commentary. And so I think that they failed on their cover. But it's really detailed about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And you know, we're doing 1st and 2nd Thessalonians on Sunday morning. And normally it's $15, but I'll let you have it for $12 and I'll sign it. It's got a lot of details, a lot of details about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And it's a commentary. And I really appreciate the endorsement. Dr. Tommy Ice endorses it. Dr. Wolver, before he died, endorses the book. And so several people give a good endorsement to it. And I'll sign it. And it's up here tonight. I have some copies if you'd like to pick one up tonight. But it's more detailed about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I think that you'd enjoy it if you're into a lot of study. So we have it up here. All right, let's look at chapter 11. And chapter 11, you know, we call this the great chapter of faith, and often we think of it about in terms of living faith, but I think that the point of the author is to really impress the Jews that these Old Testament saints were living. They were saved by faith and they were living by faith, the Old Testament saints. And if you read this slowly and carefully, it really starts impacting you and really starts hitting your soul and your guts as you read about these men of faith. Let's read it kind of slow, because as you read it slow, I think it kind of hits you. Verse 1 of chapter 11, because now he's really summing up what the book of Hebrews is about. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. It is the conviction. When one has faith, you don't see everything, but you say, God, I'm going to trust what you've done. I'm trusting. I am convicted that what you have said to me and what you've done for me is true. And notice it's a conviction about things not seen. We don't see everything. We don't understand everything. But faith says, I'm going to grab hold of what God says. Anyway, I'm going to grab hold, even though I don't understand it all and see it all and know it all. I'm going to be convicted, and my conviction will turn into faith and trust in God. For by it, the men of old gained approval. They gained approval from God. How? By faith. By their trust. The men of old, they gained approval with God. How? By their trust. By their faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. How can anybody, apart from faith, understand how God made this world? Forget it. You're not going to understand it. But He did it. And by faith, believing that He made it, made this world, then what a tremendous comfort and blessing this is to us if we grab hold by faith that He created this vast universe. Read it again. By faith, we understand something. We understand something by faith. That the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. He just spoke and it happened. He just spoke and it came to pass. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, we could really note that. Those of you who had courses in science in high school or college, what a neat little verse. So the last part of verse 3. What is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The gravitation just fascinates me. Those of you who had physics courses in college or high school, gravitation, can't figure it out. Cannot figure out gravitation. Cannot figure out gravitation. And what's the definition of gravitation? The attraction of two bodies. The attraction of two bodies. This pen is being attracted to this bell. This bell is being attracted to that pen. If there was nothing else in this room, in theory, this pen would go whoop, go right to the bell, or the bell would go whoop right to the pen. Who can figure out the force of gravity? And yet gravity holds all of creation together. All of creation. God made this gravity is a central element in creation. Gravity. Gravity keeps us in our chairs this afternoon, this evening, or we'd be going flying off into space. The size of the world is just the right size, or we'd all be pulled down to it, be scrunching down like this, or would not be enough gravity, and we'd all be flying off into space. Gravity is the force that keeps all things held together, if you will. So that's what he says, into verse 3. So that which is seen is not made of things which are visible. You can't see gravity. You can see the results of gravity. But you can't see gravity. Gravity is an incredible element. We don't know how to describe it. It's not an element. What is gravity? We don't know, except the attraction of two bodies together. And that's what holds this universe together. And it keeps things in their proper place. And that's made by God. And how do we accept that? We accept it by faith. Accept it by trust. We accept what God has done by faith and by trust. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. He offered an animal sacrifice. And it was God who prescribed an animal sacrifice. God slew the first animal to clothe Adam and Eve in their nakedness. Abel, he said, yes, sir. And he did what he saw what God had patterned. He saw what God was looking for, and that is the sacrifice of an animal in order to clothe mom and dad, if you will, the better sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. Cain brought fruit and vegetables. He did not follow what God had prescribed. There was a bit of selfishness in what he did. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. There it is. He was righteous. How was he righteous? By his trust, his faith in doing what God prescribed. He saw what God had done. God offered an animal sacrifice to clothe mom and dad, Adam and Eve. He saw the pattern. He saw what God was trying to say and get across. Some poor innocent animal died in order to clothe Adam and Eve. Some poor innocent animal. And he understood that. And the key in verse 4 is he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. That is a word that permeates the Bible. How do you get righteousness before God? Now look, if I die tonight, I have to have onto my account the righteousness of Christ, or I cannot enter into heaven. Now, I didn't earn that righteousness. I didn't manufacture it. I just have to accept what God did. God poured His wrath out on His Son. His Son was carrying my sins. His Son gives to me by my faith, gives back to me righteousness so that the doors of heaven are open to me when I die. God cannot have an unrighteous being in His presence. And I have to have the righteousness of Christ applied to me to get into heaven. Now here the author is reaching down with the story of Cain and Abel. Look what he's done. He obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And I can imagine the average Jew reading this saying, I thought you got righteous by animal sacrifices. I thought you got righteous by, you know, just trying to be the best you could. Just doing good stuff. And the author of Hebrews is saying, no, it's by faith that he was counted as righteous because he could not do anything else to please God. And the average Jew reading this says, you know what? I've had it all wrong all along. I've had it all wrong. It's by my trust, my faith in what God says, this is what I have to have. And he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts and through faith. Though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven, to glory, so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. How do you and I please God? By trust, by faith, not by works, not by law keeping, not by animal sacrifice. It has to be by faith. It's the only way. The only way to please God is faith. And specifically, starting out, the faith in Christ. It's the only way to please God. It's your faith. I believe that Christ died for me, and I accept that, and I will come to God his way, the way he prescribes, and by that I will be pleasing God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Now you have to add something. You have to add something. Those who seek him God's way. Those who seek him the way God prescribes through Christ. You cannot find God, you cannot seek God by your own efforts, by your own works. It's by saying, I believe, God, that you sent your son to die for me, and I want to know you. And he says, if you trust my son, then you have sought me and you found me, if you will. But you have to do it by trusting my son. God has made this the only way. Because God had to work out a plan. He had to work out a plan. And the plan says that you and I have no hope to see God except to just believe what he's done with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. This is it. Now let's stop here. I've got 3 minutes and just see. We'll pick this up and go further into chapter 11 next week. By the way, we're going to start in September, the book of Isaiah, so I'll let you know, but I want to take another couple more weeks in Hebrews. Is there any question? I got time for one or two questions at the most on what we've done tonight. Just keep it to what we've done tonight. Don't take any other questions. Only what we've done tonight. Yeah, Mary?
You can relate this to us, too.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. You bet. Any other questions? Everybody understand it? Yes, huh? Tell them just a little louder, Ezra. I'm trying to hear you.
It was written to the Jews.
Right.
To the
unbelieving Jews.
Unbelieving Jews.
Right.
Now, are we just supposed to? We can take it in context with the Jews, but I think I heard you say something about when we can take.
The same principles are applied to us. The same way of belief is the same thing. I mean, Gentiles come the same way. But you don't understand the book unless you realize who he's talking to. Yeah, all the twists and turns in the book. You can't understand this unless you understand the audience. But the principle is the same. We get saved by faith just like the Jew has to get saved by faith. The same way. But the great thing that I'm very concerned about is to say it was written to believing Jews who then were falling away somehow. And then, that just doesn't make sense. That will not fly. It just won't fly. And I hope I've demonstrated that to you. And I hope I've had good evidence from some other great scholars who would hold the same thing. Yeah, another question? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anything else, Dustin? Okay. All right. Yes, Joe?
A while ago, you mentioned that if a Jew was to read this, you would have to understand that. I can't remember how exactly to put it, but you were talking about if a Jew was reading Hebrews. There's no reason why they would be reading Hebrews because they would only be reading the Old Testament.
Well, you have to understand, though, that the first century was different. I mean, there was a great uproar among the Jews about Jesus. And so there was a door open for Christians. We take this author as a Christian. A Jewish Christian, that he was trying to speak to his own people, and so this book was used as a witnessing testimony to the Jews. Yeah, he would be reading it. I mean, he could be reading it if a believing Jew came to him and said, "I want you to read this." Sure, he could read it because there was a great conversation going on about Jesus among the believing and unbelieving Jews. The word about Christ was spreading everywhere. the word about his coming to Jerusalem and his life and his death and his resurrection was just being spread all over the place. It made a tremendous impact. And so, yes, if you were an unbelieving Jew and well, you were next door neighbor to me and I was a believer, I'd say, hey, I want you to read something. This author is speaking to our people, I want you to read this. And so, yeah, many Jews probably read it. Yeah.
Arnold Frutenbaum, in his book, he's a Christian Jew,
yes,
says that the book of Hebrews is what they use over there to minister to the Jews.
Sure, I'll bet so. Absolutely, yes. I think Arnold holds to the position that this was to believing Jews. I don't hold that. I think Arnold's wrong. But that if he said that, and I believe he did, he said it, that's interesting because he's saying what I'm saying. Then why would you use it with unbelieving Jews? Because that's what it's for.
He said it's their greatest piece of evidence.
Absolutely.
That Christ was trying to.
Thank you, Arnold. Well, he's he understands what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You could not find a better book to study, but to give to a Jew if you would read it, of course. But see, remember, everything has changed now. Things are different now than they were in the first century. And remember, that's what we said. You've got to go back to the first century to understand this book. That's one of the statements I read to you all tonight. So you don't understand it unless you put yourself into the first century context. And what was going on with the Jews at that time. Because everything was turned upside down with the Jewish people. I mean, it was flipped right on the, right, somersaults concerning Christ. And very important. Yes, huh?
Verses about
the
Messiah
out of
the Old Testament that
it was referring
to what we're studying tonight.
Mercy. Mercy.
Wow.
Tour bus?
No.
No,
just city bus.
No.
Huh? Mercy. Goodness gracious. There's a lot of changes going on in Israel. It's over 20 years since I was there. Almost 30 years. But the Jews are opening up. They are opening up. They are opening up. God is beginning to work with them. And then many of their eyes are being opened. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing on us now, and thank you for these words and this insight into your people and understanding how and why they reject the Lord Jesus. We pray right now for so many in Israel who you're dealing with. And we pray, Father, before all the things that could fall upon any day now, any moment, that your Spirit will be working with them and bringing them to you yourself. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.